whether you are here live with us or watching over the replay on YouTube, welcome, and give God thanks for you being here. And I thank God for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. So as Pastor said, we're in the book of Colossians, and last week, Aaron so spectacularly spoke on the topic of church clothes, where we're in the letter where Paul is writing to the Colossians, and he's going into elements of doctrine and about putting away the old man and the old ways and dying to the flesh, having been united with Christ. And he beautifully articulated the importance of that dynamic. And if you haven't watched it, please go back and watch it. And I would say that today's message is a part two, as it were, the second half of the instruction from Paul. So before we begin, let me just share my screen with you. And then we can get into the reading of the word for today. I hope that you are all ready. So if you could just turn your Bibles with me to Colossians 3, verse 2 to 16. And just to let you know, all of the scriptures that I'll be using today are from the New Living Translation. Okay, so let's read. So since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves, and if you have a pen, just underline clothe yourselves, with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, always be and always be thankful. Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Today, I would like to talk, following on from Brother Aaron's message, with the question, are you dressed yet? Are you dressed yet? And the purpose of this is to look at the context of what Paul was talking about. And Aaron spoke about undressing or taking off the old man. And now we're going on to putting on the new man. And the idea of being dressed and correctly dressed is something that is quite prevalent in the New Testament, and being used as a way of indicating that what we wear and the way that we are is the way that we behave or the way that we come across is an indication as to what's going on inside of us, as to who we are. And the Bible says the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the way that I speak is a representation of my heart. And Paul is encouraging the church and highlighting to the church that as Christians, we go through a process, that when we get saved, we let go of the old way of who we were and how we defined ourselves, and we take on the form, the image, and the truth and principles of Jesus Christ. And this process is called sanctification. And I want to just take a moment just to talk about sanctification, what it is, and the place that it has in our lives as Christians. I think that this is an important idea to understand as Christians. And I think that it's important for the church to continue to preach this message, to talk about this process, because it affects all of us. That the moment that we get saved, we start the process of sanctification, the process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. So I would like to just start with that, and then we can then return to the text to then see what Paul is saying. So sanctification and the way that it's used in the New Testament, from the Greek word, the meaning is the process of making or becoming holy or set apart. The term holy is set apart. And the idea is from the Old Testament, and we see when we read the Old Testament that anything that God took for himself was considered holy. It was set apart, that he took it for himself, regardless of what the thing or person is. In their natural state, they may be sinful, fallen, broken. It may be an inanimate object, but the moment that God takes it and sets it apart, it then becomes holy. And then he then does the work in it to then go on to achieve his particular purpose. And the word holy, in the one that's used here, the Greek word, it relates to sanctification, holiness, consecration. And all of these things are about the process of being made holy. And the idea of holy is being set apart to be not like everything else, separated for God. And this is a process, an ongoing work. It is not just, okay, I'm saved, therefore I'm holy. Sanctification is the process of becoming holy, set apart for God. And the premise of sanctification is that you're a new creation. Yeah. That this work in us. Yeah. That and the Bible says that any man in Christ is a new creation. All things are passed away and all things become new. And it's at that point that we start this journey. And when we look in verse 10 of Colossians 3, we see that Paul, if we go back even to verse 9, Paul starts to explain it, and he goes in verse 9, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds and put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator. And this is the point, and become like him. This is the process of sanctification. It is where we identify that, you know what, this man or who I was is no longer who I can be. And when we get saved through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled back to God, allowing us to be justified through faith. And it is at this point that a regeneration work happens in us, and we are then adopted into the family of Christ. And when we accept Christ, it is through the work of Jesus Christ that we become justified. But from that moment on, that we are now a new creation, we start the journey of life of sanctification. And it is not an overnight thing. It is a daily working, a daily sacrificing of our old self. That means the things that we used to do are the things that we are battling with to no longer do, that we are putting them to death. So if I found it okay to continuously lie previously, through the process of sanctification, I know that through the help of the Holy Spirit and the provisions that God has left us to get through the process of sanctification, I can then go on to become separated for God. And this is why, as Christians, we go through this process. That as a Christian, I should not and cannot be comfortable with continuing to do the things that I used to do. And this is through the work of the Holy Spirit within me that convicts me and reminds me of the fact that I am a Christian, that Christ has paid a price for me. And in love for Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, he continues to renew and develop this new man within me and the challenges of my free will. So where before I was a slave to sin and had no conviction of the sins that I committed before, now I find that there is this conflict, this issue that as a new Christian, I may slip up often, but we don't judge because we are all on this journey of sanctification, all of us. All of us have started here where we were immature, where we were fallen, where we were broken, and we just come into Christ and started to grow. Now, God hasn't left us with nothing. He's left us with provisions for sanctification. And I think this is quite important. So he's left us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there as working within us to bring back to our remembrance all of the things that have been shown to us, all of the things that we've been taught. When you come to church or you read your Bible or you experience a situation, it's those things that will remind you, look, this is the standard. This is what the work is. The process of sanctification is helping us put away the old man and put on the new. He's given us the word. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, what makes us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. We've got the church as a provision. That Colossians 16, as we'll see in a moment, that we're encouraged to teach and counsel each other with wisdom. And this is where like the roles of our pastors and our teachers, this is why we have to continue to pray for them, because they play a role in our journey of being sanctified. They help us and remind us of the laws and the teachings, and for us to concentrate on the inner working within us. Sanctification is an inner working within the person, and it is a process. And I don't want anyone to feel judged by any flaws or brokenness. This is a part of the process. But equally, I don't want anyone to give up on themselves, because it's an inner working. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. All God is looking for is our obedience to his word, to his direction, and to his leading. And this is why we're encouraged to continue to read the word, to continue to attend church services, to continue to spend time in prayer, because our spiritual growth is directly impacted and connected to our knowledge of God and his will for our lives. And lastly, he's left us the cross, that we can never forget the price that was paid for our sins. This keeps us in a state of humility, a state of understanding that, you know what, the wages of sin is death. I was on the road to death, but Christ paid that price. And these are just some of the provisions that we have on this journey of sanctification, that as we submit to the inner workings, as we submit to the Holy Spirit and to God's word, we move along this journey incrementally at different paces, at different levels, yeah, at different levels of intensity. And this is where our maturity is built in Christ. And this is why we can never judge a person who makes immature decisions, yeah, in their Christian walk, because they may be at the early stages of their sanctification process. Their immaturity shows that in them not being far along the process, that there may be areas in their life that they may need help with, that they may need understanding, that they may need a bit of support. And this is why we as Christians are called to be patient, that we're called to be loving, that we're called to never write off anyone. We can never afford to write off anyone because of this process. But we have to all understand that we are all on it. There is not one of us that is not on this journey of sanctification. The moment that we gave our lives to Christ and submitted our will to him, we started this journey. The beautiful thing about the process of sanctification, it explains why we shouldn't be discouraged when we fail. Because God understands that we're going to fail. And as long as we remain faithful and continue, it's he who will bring us along. It is God who brings us along through our submission to his word, our submission and to his Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, in through our prayer time, through our time through church and implementing the instructions and directions that we receive, that we come along. And it is Christ who brings us along this journey as we join with him, as we submit to him. It is him who brings us along. And this is why we can never afford to give up. We can never afford to just turn away. And I think that understanding the process of sanctification in your own life is really important for you to know that, you know what, this is a continuous inner working. Yesterday I slipped up. I'm not going to give up. I need to bring that back to God. I need to show God, you know, I need to deal with this conflict. Aaron spoke about this last week, where Paul said, "Oh, wretched man am I, that the things that I will to do, the things that I'm not doing, and the things that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing." I'm in this process of sanctification, and I'm struggling at times, and we get there. But Christ has paid the price for our sins. It is not that because you're a Christian, you're unable to sin. It's because you're a Christian, you know and understand that you don't have to, that the power of sin and the domination of sin over your life is broken, that we no longer have to be slaves to it, that we have the power to understand that I can take this off. I am not bound by this lust that I've struggled with. I'm not bound by the lies or the issues. And it doesn't have to be what we would consider the well-known sins. It can be anything. It can be insidious sins. It can be unforgiveness. It can be all of these different things that are going on inside of us. We don't have to be bound by it. That spell was broken through Christ. And the one thing that understanding the process of sanctification is that it explains why we should always have hope for ourselves and others, that we don't have the right to give up on anyone who's going through their process. Paul said, forgetting the things that were behind me and focusing on the things that are in front of me, I keep pressing on towards the mark of the upward call that is in Christ Jesus, never quitting. Keep pushing, that you may be a Christian who struggled with the old man. Don't quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. You have to keep pressing that. Do you know what? You're just being sanctified. You're going through it, and it's difficult and it's challenging, but God is going to bring you through. And no judgment. There's no condemnation for any man that's in Christ Jesus. But we don't walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. And this is where the transition of the old man and putting him to death is completed or processed through sanctification. And it's very important that we as Christians understand, where am I? Am I here at the beginning? Is this why I keep failing? Am I here? Like, have I got over those issues? And now am I ready to start putting on these new garments? Am I ready to get dressed? And those who have struggled, or those who may feel judged, if you're in a room with someone, say, listen, be patient with me. I'm getting dressed. I'm getting dressed. I've just taken off what I was wearing, and now I'm beginning to put on something new. This was in my godly wardrobe. I'm putting it on. And this is something that all of us as Christians, I want us to never forget. I want us to never run away from, to never allow the enemy to deceive us into believing that we are defined by failure. No, we're not. Righteous man falls down how many times? And what happens? He gets back up. Why? Because we understand that we're in a process. You're in a process. We're getting dressed. You're getting dressed. And if you're at the stage and you don't know, the question is, are you dressed? And I really wanted to highlight that, because I think that it's important for us to understand that the purpose of this, of sanctification, is to manifest Christ to the world. That the me who I was is dead. I'm not a slave to that. I'm not defined by that. My identity is no longer in what I have, what I wear, who I'm with, what I do. None of those things now identify me. Paul says, look, there's no more Jew or Gentile. There's no more master or slave. There's no more civilized or barbaric or uncivilized. All of those identifiers are done with. That is past. Now we are united in Christ. This isn't a competition of who's better, who's not better. It's not a competition of who has and don't has. All of that is done away with, because we understand that in Christ we have a new identity. That if you struggled in your past with anything, the moment that you came to Christ, you became a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. All. That is it. That is the miraculous work at the cross. And you need to understand that anything from the moment that you accept Christ, you're in a process of sanctification. And it's not for me or anyone else to judge you at your process, but it is for you. The Bible says, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. It is on you to work that out and to be conscious of where you are and the things that you do in line with God's word, with understanding that as a child of God, as a chosen one, as a person who is to replicate Christ, holy, separated to God, that it is for you to think, where am I? What am I doing? Is this a representation of Christ? Am I dressed? And is the way that I'm dressed representing Christ? So I want to go back to the text very quickly, and I want to just highlight a few things. So Paul says, since God chose you, and before I continue, I just want to look at the statement chose. And when I was just prepping, one of the things that I came across, this term chose, goes back to the statement or the parable that Jesus told. And Jesus was talking about the wedding banquet and people being invited. It was for the Lord's son. And he said, this is like what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he set the banquet and he invited a particular list of people. And none of those people came. So then he sent out his servant, said, go invite. And these people mistreated his servant. So he said, okay, he punished those individuals and said, go out and invite everyone. And they sent and many people came. But there was one person who wasn't dressed correctly for the occasion. And this particular person was removed from the banquet and essentially punished. And then Jesus ends it by saying, many are called, but few are chosen. And in verse 12 of chapter 3, if you're reading from the New King James, it may say God's elect, the selected ones. So, and this was to highlight that there is a difference, that the call goes out to all when we're talking about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. But when we're talking about the chosen, these are the ones that have responded in obedience to the call. Those are now the chosen. So Paul is saying, listen, for those of you who have chosen, who have responded to the call and accepted the call, you are the chosen of God. And as the chosen, you are called to be a holy people, holy, separated, set apart. And you must clothe yourselves. I said to put a circle around this clothe yourselves. This can be surmised in the Greek translation as put on, or wrap yourselves in, or get dressed. And it says to get dressed in tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And when I looked into this, the terms that were used, and I always go back to the original text, tender-hearted mercies or heart of compassion, the Greek word splanchna and optimus. And basically the meaning for splanchna is a deep felt emotion, like a gut feeling. It's describing the feeling, the deepness of the feeling one feels. And then the second part is looking at compassion and mercy. So you could look at that, and the translation would be a heart that feels deep compassion for the plight of another person. That when people are lost, when people are out there going through struggles, it affects us. This is what we should put on, that care for one another. It says for kindness. And this is like someone who reaches out to others to support, a word or a gift of food or money, generous. It's an outpouring of the heart of compassion. So the kindness is the expression of the tender-hearted or a heart of compassion. Then he goes on to say humility and meekness. And this was one that really touched me and convicted me as I looked into it. So the Greek words protos and pratotis is more like, this isn't a timid person, but rather someone who has strength and confidence to be gentle in their relationships and but firm in their convictions. And a derivative of these words is pros, which can be described as like a domesticated animal, a tamed animal. And it's like the meekness of heart. When we hear meekness, I think sometimes we can get a misunderstanding, but it's not to say weakness or soft, but it is to say that, you know what, I put on willingly this, I'm obedient to Christ to the point that Christ tames my old passions, tames my old attitudes, tames my old way of being, that before I was quite over and in your face and self-praising. I was all about myself. It was all about satisfying the flesh. But Christ has tamed me, that now I'm teachable. Now, yeah, I can take on criticism without crumbling. That, you know what, now, yeah, I'm willing to submit my idea where I thought whenever I was right and everyone else is wrong. That, you know what, you can't tell me anything. This is wrong. This is nothing's wrong with that. Now I'm willing to submit my will to a will that is higher than mine, to a way that is higher than mine. And this is the humility. This is where we would describe this type of person as someone from the Beatitudes. And then we've got perseverance. And the Greek term reflects a person who endures. So this is someone who doesn't easily quit. This is someone who has the kind of quality that makes it possible to withstand adversity without needing to strike back, without needing to just have their way. It's, you know what, I'm going to continue. And this is where I go back to what I said about being in the process of sanctification, is that we're going to come against adversity. But Paul said, I'm going to continue to press. I'm going to continue to press. I'm going to continue to press on, never quitting, never walking away. And this is where...
Watch on Disney.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
What, Taylor, come in here?
Sorry, can we mute? Sorry, if we could just be mindful of our but hopefully you can hear me now, sorry about that, having the perseverance to continue that in spite of what we face, in spite of what's going on. We may come up against challenges, but we put on perseverance that we're not going to quit, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the clothing of the new man, that when I get dressed, these are the things that are not for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. All of these are benefiting the community. They're benefiting the external. Like I loved when Aaron spoke a few weeks ago, and he said that when a tree doesn't eat its own fruits, it's not nourished by its own fruits. And these are the things that are to be produced in us, not just for us, but to represent Christ to others. And Paul's trying to say that when we put away the old man, that through the process of sanctification, we put on this new man, that this is who we are called to be. This is who we are called to replicate, because people then see the God in us. That this isn't just about me. This isn't just about me. This is about him. This is all about him. That it is my reasonable service to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, and acceptable unto God. It's reasonable service unto him for his glory in me. Then he goes on in verse 13 to talk about behaviors. So he says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive one another who offend you. The first thing that we understand is this, and we're going to be offended. We're going to be offended. But forgiveness, and the powerful thing about forgiveness is that that it always reminds us, when we forgive others, we must always remember that we first were forgiven. This idea is modeled on the focus of Christ giving us the example of how to be. And I think that we see throughout the Bible is that we cannot forget. Today we're taking communion. In remembrance, it is so vital that we never forget that we have been forgiven, which means we ourselves have fallen, that we, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we ourselves have fallen, but we have been forgiven. And therefore, as those who have been forgiven, we must also forgive. This is the behaviors of the new man, that we should love agape, that we should let peace rule our hearts. And what Paul uses here, the term for rule, is like a referee or umpire. So when I thought about this, I'm a sports person, and I'm sure most people have been watching football and Euros. It made me start looking at myself and seeing, do you know what? Do I allow peace to rule in my heart? And when I thought about it, it was like, there's division there. Hold on. The Bible says, seek peace and pursue it. Is that what you're doing? If not, foul, come back. We start again from here. Peace. Yeah. Are you getting overwhelmed by something? Foul. Wait a moment. Come back. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Yeah. Look, come back. Come back. Nope. You can't go that way. Peace has to rule. It has to have the governing power of our hearts. And if not, come back. No, you need to let peace here. This is where peace. You need peace. There's too much friction there. No, come back. And when I thought about that, it really convicted me to start looking and saying, do you know what? I need to give peace an important place in my heart, that I'm entitled, that if I'm overwhelmed, that I can pray and talk to God and allow the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard my heart and mind. And if I'm not doing that, I need to allow the referee, I need to allow the Holy Spirit to bring me back in alignment with the behaviors that are reflective of Christ. That we must always be thankful. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. In all things, give Thanks. I think sometimes Thanksgiving is underrated. I think sometimes we can get so caught up that we don't realize what we have because we're so concentrated on what we don't have. And Thanksgiving is a way of bringing us back into a humble state of realization that, you know what, God, you really have been good to me. I want to give us a task this week that at some point this week in your private time, just make a list of all the things that you have. Just have. I have a car, I have a job. I may not have a job, a roof over my head. I've got children. I've got, and just go through it. And I want that to be the start of your list of Thanksgiving. And see, let's see how the inner man, how you feel for that day. Let's try to appreciate what God has done. Because if we don't appreciate what God has done in us, through us, and for us, it affects our worship, it affects our praise, it affects our interaction. Ingratitude is something that offends God, that we must be able to show God that everything we have, no matter how small it is, no matter how small it is, breath in our body is something that we are grateful for. And it says, let the message of Christ fill your hearts. The enemy is constantly trying to get us to focus on this world, yeah? To focus on all of these things. And it pulls us away from the message of Christ. It pulls us away from the message of salvation. It pulls us away from the sacrifice that was made. And Paul is saying, no, that has to be right here in our daily living, in our daily thoughts, right here. Let the message of Christ fill your heart. You know, when your heart is full of something, it encompasses everything that you do and think of. Like you know, like when you like love a child or your wife or like your partner, like your family, it encompasses you that when you see them, it's just on your mind. You claim, let the message of Christ fill your heart. Let the message of Christ fill our hearts. And this is something that for all of us, these are the behaviors that we should try to think about. Is the message of Christ filling my heart? Am I clothed? Am I wrapped up in these things? Is the message of Christ and pleasing him my daily intention? And then it says, teach and counsel each other in wisdom, in the wisdom God gives. Worship God with a heart of thanksgiving. And I think teaching and counseling each other is so important. And for those who are here, if you're not in a small group, I would like to encourage you to join one. And Brother Tunde says this, and I love the way he says it. He says, we do life with each other. And this is a part of our process of sanctification, that we can become accountable to one another, and someone can come in and step in and say, brother, do you know what? I think you need to think about this, you know? And sister, hold on. I think you need to think about this. Not in condemnation. Not in condemnation, but in love, in support, in teaching and counseling each other in wisdom that God gives. This is the family of Christ. Paul is giving this instruction to the church. He's talking to all of us, and he's saying, look, this is how you should be by yourself in your person, and this is how you should be with each other. And as the kingdom grows, the people that interact with these behaviors grows. And when I think about this passage and understand it or try to understand it, I really appreciate Micah Ministries. I appreciate Pastor Dennis and Pastor Lorna, Tiggy, Tunde, Adrian, Stella, and all of the leadership. I appreciate every single member that looks to help me in my walk of sanctification, that there are many like Mother Hermine and Mother Dorrit who may be further down the line than me, but they're willing to come back and say, Sam, look, never forget this, don't worry, come along. Christ is still doing a work in you. That Pastor Dennis, through the various frustrations that my actions may cause, look, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I want to encourage the family today. I want to encourage you, no matter where you are on this spectrum, God has a plan for your life. And it's time for us to get dressed. It's time for us to put off the old man. It's time for us to let go of the former and latch on to the word and the promises of God, to latch on to the instruction. Let's put on and clothe ourselves in kindness, in humility, in tender-heartedness, in compassion. Have a heart that is reflective of Christ. This is what we are called to do. This is the process of putting to death the old man. Now, this doesn't mean that you've got to be instantly perfect. No. It's saying it's a daily struggle, brothers and sisters. You may fall here, but keep getting back up. You may fall here, keep getting back up. You may fall here, keep getting back up. You may fall here, keep getting back up. He's saying, listen, the perseverance to continue. Let's clothe ourselves. Let's clothe ourselves in that. Let's clothe ourselves that God has not given up on you. The Bible says that he is faithful to complete that in which he has started. And there may be many of us who are facing various challenges that require us to forgive. We're going through hardship where we've been offended. Someone has broken our heart. Forgive. Show Christ. Show Christ. Show Christ. Let Christ win. There may be those who are out there struggling with various sins. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave. You have responded to the call. You are the chosen. God has separated you. He has separated you to make you holy. And now we're in the process of sanctification. That as we put to death the old man and put on the clothing of the new man, God will get glory. That verse 17, and whatsoever that we do, let's look at it. That whatsoever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That whatever we do is a representation of Christ. That means the way that I do my job, I can represent Christ. Just think about that. This is a life encompassing instruction. That whatever, it doesn't say when you do things relating to the church. It doesn't say when you're doing things at home. It doesn't say when you're doing things in this environment. It says whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, we are representing Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let this be our lives. Let this be our lives. That we live a life of thanksgiving unto God, that the old man is someone that we are willing to put to death daily, that all of the struggles and the issues that we struggled with in the past, all of our old definitions, all of our insecurities and all of our struggles from the past, we put to death and kill. That as the enemy, as the accuser, will try to bring them up to define us, we say no. Because any man in Christ is a new creation. I am a new creation. The Holy Spirit is working within me. And through the word of God, I am going to renew my mind daily. That through the directions and support of my church, I will persevere through these things. So that I will never forget the cross. I will never forget the work and the price that was paid for me. That in love and gratitude, I dedicate my life. Christ. I just want to pray in closing. And I just want to just pray for all of us, that no matter where we are, that no matter where we are on this spectrum, that we understand that perfection is only experienced at glorification when we go to heaven. And between the justification and glorification, we are being sanctified by God, being made holy for his good pleasure in our lives. And I just want to encourage us today. I want to encourage the family. Let's get dressed. That no matter where we are, I'm putting on my clothes. I may not be where you are, but I'm getting dressed. I've been where you are, continue to get dressed as I continue to get dressed. I am not perfect, far from it. I am a work in progress, but I accept that and I continue, that I continue to fight the old man daily, putting to death the works of the flesh. That though these challenges happen, they don't define me because I'm no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You may not be saved. You may not know Christ. I want to say to you, you don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Christ paid the price. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You are entitled to that gift, and you may be facing things that you feel define you. I want to say to you, in Christ, you are a new creation. And today I want to present the opportunity to anyone that's listening to make the call to say, listen, if you feel that you want to get to know this Christ and invite him into your life, just say this prayer with me. And it says, dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I have sinned and that my sin has separated me from you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I invite you into my heart. Take control. Have your way in me. Help me to put away the old man and help me to put on the clothes and wrap myself and get dressed in this new man that you have created me and set me apart to be. I welcome you into my life. Have your way. And I thank you for your loving kindness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.